71 degrees currently in downtown Coshocton. And this hour is a paid commercial broadcast. Here in the studio with us, Nick Teddy and Tim Kettler from Coshocton Environmental and Community Awareness. The event is Living on the Shale. It's going to be held this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. That's May the 17th at Coshocton Village Inn and Suites. You are invited. And we are joined on the phone right now with Leah Harper. Leah is the co-founder and managing director of Freshwater Accountability Project, and she also started the Facebook page Southeast Ohio Alliance to Save Our Water from Fracking. And we welcome to our program now Leah Harper. Good morning, Leah.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
Well, Leah, first of all, I get we've mentioned a couple of organizations that you belong to. Can you give us a little background of how these became a cause for you?
Well, actually, it's been a couple years now. We found out about fracking. We were going to add on to our, it was our, to be our retirement home in Senecaville, Ohio, right near Seneca Lake. We were getting ready to invest in the area because that's where we wanted to stay the rest of our life. And then my daughter said, well, you might want to look at that investment because fracking is coming to the area. And we said, fracking, you know, what is that? So my husband's a researcher, and he's has a PhD in material science. I am also a background in systems theory educationally, and we started to look into other states where fracking had taken place. Well, we thought for sure we would be protected because we were living in a conservancy district, and we were paying taxes. So we thought, you know, this will be fine because we're water people. We really wanted to be able to, you know, drink our water, swim in our water, enjoy our water, and not have to worry about fracking. The more we learned about it, I mean, the more we learned what threat there could be to fracking because of fracking. So you could imagine our surprise when we found out that the Conservancy District had plans to actively engage and leasing reservoirs for fracking and selling the water to support the industry.
And what were your experiences from there?
Well, I think I felt like Alice in Wonderland. I kind of went down the rabbit hole a little bit because it was, I had what I understood was cognitive dissonance. I could not grasp the fact that a conservancy district that I'm paying taxes to would be allowed to frack near, next to, and under reservoirs that are needed for drinking water supplies, for agriculture, and for the huge lucrative recreational business that there is in the area. So we tried to understand that, and we tried to convince the Muskingum Watershed Conservancy District that maybe this was not such a good idea. We commissioned a report from a hydrogeologist out of New York that was basically testifying in Albany himself. They were looking at rules. Of course, you know, there's still a moratorium on fracking in New York. It's not allowed. And so he had been working very successfully with people there. We thought we could do the same thing, at least with a conservancy district, because we knew, you know, fracking was going to be taking place in other places in Southeast Ohio, and we wanted to protect our water. So Paul Rubin worked with us. He gave us all his information, all his science. We gave it to the conservancy district. We gave it to the conservancy court. We gave it to our legislators, and that report was basically ignored. But what it said is you don't want to frack near or under reservoirs that are needed for public drinking water supplies, especially.
And so, and you were looking at property near Senecaville Reservoir. Am I understanding that correctly?
Oh, yes. We had been there for about, it's been 8 or 9 years now that we had lived in the area. And, you know, like I said, we wanted to invest in the area. We brought a lot of people. We introduced them. We had come from Pittsburgh, and we introduced people from Pittsburgh to the area and our friends from Northwest Ohio, too. So we really did engage in the recreation industry. We bought a boat. We had a pontoon on Seneca Lake. We just really enjoyed it. And when we realized what could happen to a reservoir that was fracked, we had to actively get involved. I don't think that I imagined that I would have it take over my life the way it has, but I don't think that, you know, the more you know, the more you cannot not do something about it. We love that lake, and we love water, and we love life, and we love our grandchildren, and we had to do what we could do to protect the area, to protect the water.
And what would you like to see happen? What's your next step?
Well, last time we went to the Conservancy Court, we were told we couldn't even testify because there was a threat of a lawsuit. Well, we had asked them to do what they could do, which was a lot more than actively engaging in this industry for protection. So when we couldn't testify at all, of course, we only had one recourse. So we went to Franklin County and we asked for a declaratory action from the court to at least decide whether a conservancy that's taking taxes from people that's supposed to protect the environment would actually be allowed to engage in such a abnormally dangerous and risky and highly unregulated industry as fracking. We're going to be tied up in court forever because the fracking industry and the conservancy district now, they have, tons of money. It's a very uneven playing field. Residents, taxpayers basically have nothing to say about the decisions made by the MWCD board, and then the Conservancy Court, of course, does not get involved. So it's a truly a very undemocratic, unbalanced dynamic to begin with, but we have a few resources, and we have a growing awareness by people in the area. As you may know, they just leased Piedmont for almost $100 million to frack that reservoir. And, of course, the long laterals that are left underneath these reservoirs, who could know when they start leaking, when they find a migratory pathway to the surface, to the reservoir, through the abandoned oil wells that were flooded when the dams were built. There's a number of risky and probably unwise things that have been done by the Conservancy District because we don't know enough about this unregulated industry. What we do know indicates that our fears are founded. We have yet to be proven that our fears are wrong. In fact, we continue as we look like what Tim and Nick are doing and more into the people who have had the experiences of fracking moving into their neighborhoods of what is likely to happen. We're trying to exercise the precautionary principle and avoid that, but we are being ignored.
What can be found on your Facebook page, Southeast Ohio Alliance to Save Our Water from Fracking?
Well, I appreciate, actually, if you go back to the beginning, it pretty much outlines the rabbit hole that we went down. We wrote to the board of the MWCD. We wrote to the Conservancy Court. We furnished the science. We rallied the troops. We had some rallies on the Tuscarawas County Courthouse lawn. We testified at the board meetings. And then what we did is we started Freshwater Accountability Project to basically go statewide because we realized that our governor, our elected representatives, and our regulators were doing the same thing. It's almost like the MWCD was taking their playbook and using it the same way. So we realized that this is a statewide issue where fracking is unregulated at the state level. And the federal government basically took regulations away from the industry to allow it to get started. And now the states are mimicking that. So it kind of all flows downhill. And it starts at the top with the dismantling of regulations, basic protections to the environment and to people like the Clean Water Act and the Clean Air Act. This is the only industry in the United States that has those federal exemptions.
What else would you like to share with us about these issues and your activities?
Well, I think that people are really beginning to get involved. And what was wonderful, it was very heartwarming, in fact, was to be in Barnesville on Monday night and to see people find out about a toxic and radioactive waste dump that was being planned for their community. And right outside their community, 600,000 tons of frack waste potentially that we know is got varying degrees of radioactivity. We don't know how much because the regulatory authority, the Ohio Department of Natural Resources, that's allowed to measure radioactivity, allowed to measure the toxicity, is not doing so. It's not exercising even what limited regulations there are. So without knowing where it's coming from and what it could do to us, it was going to be dumped right outside of Barnesville at the industrial park. So people found out about this, and they got involved, and even some of the elected officials and appointed officials like the Port Authority, they started to look into it themselves. They brought in the science, and basically Craig Butler from the Ohio EPA sat there and demonstrated the failure to do anything about it. He basically said, well, there's no regulations in place, so we don't have to do anything. And that's just totally unacceptable. And the overflowing crowd of community members that were there, they saw it, and they stood up against it. They decided to protect their community themselves. We're going to see more of that.
Anything else you would like to share with us today, Leah?
Well, I would say to really come to to find out for yourself. People are not being educated. They're not being informed. They're not being told what's planned for them in their community. The ODNR is issuing these temporary authorizations without regulations. They're not telling the community. They're not allowing a public comment period. They're ignoring the science. And they're thinking that they can just roll over us and that we will take it and there's nothing we can do about it. We have to show them that we can do something about it. Get ourselves educated. The Saturday event in Coshocton is a wonderful opportunity to do so. Don't listen to the industry rhetoric. We know they're in it for the money. We have to be in it for our communities, for our children, for the long run, for all of Ohio.
That's Leah Harper of the Freshwater Accountability Project. Leah, thank you for being with us today.
Okay, thank you, Mike.
It is 9:26, and we will be back once again with Nick Teddy and Tim Kettler from Coshocton Environmental and Community Awareness right after these words. It is 9:31, and we are back once again with Nick Teddy and Tim Kettler. They are here from Coshocton Environmental and Community Awareness. Their event, Living on the Shale, is coming up this Saturday from 10 to 6 at the Coshocton Village Inn and Suites, and you are invited. And, Tim, what else would you like to share with us either about the event or these issues?
Well, you know, I want to thank Leah, not just for the work that she's done and being here, but she exemplifies what citizen action is. She is not a longtime activist. She's a mom. She's an educator. And she's a citizen and resident of her community. And she has taken it upon herself to organize and put forth an effort that builds community and protects, in this case, protects our environment and our quality of life for ourselves and our children. And I was at the meeting in Barnesville in Belmont County the other night where Leah spoke of, and it was very heartening to see citizens become involved. Yes, I'm pleased at the outcome that they stopped the first attempt to dump these radioactive drill cuttings and actually term them a beneficial use and make a type of concrete out of them to build with. But you know, it's that citizen action. Here in Coshocton, I'm kind of disappointed. We put the welcome mat out for the toxic oil and gas waste to come into our county with very little benefit to the county, you know, no job creation, no type of revenue for our local governments, and we're stuck with probably the worst aspect of the entire process. So, you know, Belmont County is much more developed, and they're farther down the road with this shale gas development, and you have a different perspective once you're living with it. We think it's really important to be proactive. That's the purpose of this event, is to share this information and energize people to become more active in all kinds of environmental issues in our county, not just this, but it's a real opportunity. Nick said that if you want to know where you're going, look at where you've been. And that's probably the overriding message we've gotten from both Mayor Tillman and John Fenton, was that if you don't have fracking in your area, to put it bluntly, you don't want it. The issues that go along with this, I mean, it's easy to put your finger on water pollution and air contamination and things, but there's such a broad range of issues in the way it affects us locally in our community, and our traditional economic bases of agriculture, outdoor pursuits, and tourism. You know, if we're going to have a meaningful discussion, and in talking with folks who have been down this road, you know, and have tried to be administrators of communities going down this road, they saw that the biggest problems were with communities that didn't fully prepare for this. And we've had community meetings. We've been involved in one side of this issue, certainly, but the Port Authority has hosted stakeholders meetings. And unfortunately, these issues that we're talking about, that we're concerned about, that are very apparent to all of us, are largely ignored. And so if we're going to look at this and come together as a community to do what's best for our community, you really have to take a larger picture of what's going to happen as we go down this road. And it's nothing like hearing it straight from the horse's mouths for the participants that we're going to have been living with this for a number of years, and they're going to be able to share a lot of very relevant information that people just haven't generally have had a chance to have access to.
And again, the event is Living on the Shale. It's at the Coshocton Village Inn and Suites this Saturday from 10 to 6. And now, are there other organizations that are in partnership with yours for this event, Tim?
We have solely organized this event. However, there is a large community of organizations that have been working on this issue. We're going to have the Ohio Sierra Club there. We are going to have Buckeye Forest Council. We are going to have the Freshwater Accountability Project. We have a local organic farm, Strawberry Hill. There are concerns on protecting the integrity of clean food, you know, and you have to have clean water, clean oil, soil, and clean air to do that. So we have about 12 exhibitors as well as our featured speakers. And so once again, you know, we are an educational organization, and we're working to provide information for folks. These are real people. You know, oftentimes you can go to a lecture or a seminar, you can read a book, and it's hard to digest a lot of the information. Well, these are real stories told by real people who have real experience, and there's an intrinsic value to being able to have that kind of help when you're trying to be proactive, when you're trying to prepare to do what's best for your community.
That's Tim Kettler from Coshocton Environmental and Community Awareness. It's Living on the Shale this Saturday from 10 to 6, Coshocton Village Inn and Suites, and we'll be back right after these words. 71 degrees currently in downtown Coshocton, and we are back once again with our paid commercial broadcast of this hour with the folks from Coshocton Environmental and Community Awareness. Their event is coming up this Saturday, Living on the Shale at Coshocton Village Inn and Suites. Everyone is invited. It's from 10 a.m. till 6 p.m. And Tim, what else would you like to share with our listeners today?
Well, Mike, I want to go back to the point I mentioned of having a full examination of the impact of this, and I think beware of the law of unintended consequences, because sometimes you may get just what you wish for. I'd mentioned that our traditional economic base is tourism, outdoor activities, hunting and fishing, as well as agriculture. And this type of activity directly impacts that. You know, certainly everybody will be happy to see our hotels filled, but that's a transient residency that after 30 days becomes permanent residency, and the county bed tax disappears after that. That county bed tax, I'm not sure how Coshocton's law is written, but, you know, the typical generic model says after 30 days that bed tax is gone. That bed tax can be shared with townships and municipalities up to 33%, and every available overnight space will be filled, bed and breakfast, things like that. Well, you know, the county is going to lose that kind of revenue, and certainly we haven't heard, you know, any mention of that. Tourism, and we have this wonderful place, Roscoe Village, and certainly Paul Fiesel from Carroll County will speak to what life is like with an endless stream of truck traffic right down your inner streets, wherever they have to go. And that kind of traffic beyond Roscoe is going to certainly detract from that. Natural resources extraction typically happens in a bubble. It's hyperactivity. It's done as quickly as possible for maximum immediate benefit, and then it disappears. And it's going to be very hard to undo some of that damage to our quality of life, to, what may happen to our tourism, the ramifications of all the waste, toxic waste coming into this county for our agricultural base. Certainly, huge open spaces are created where this activity occurs, from pipeline right-of-ways, from 5-acre well pads within close proximity, all connected by cleared right-of-ways. These open spaces truly disrupt wildlife, and it goes beyond just for pleasure, but it's always been a big mainstay for our economy. So we really need to have this broad discussion. We need to incorporate, not be afraid to challenge each other to discuss these issues. They're all very germane, very important, and they're tending to be overlooked. So our event, Living on the Shale, this Saturday from 10 to 6 at Coshocton Village Inn, is going to offer folks a complete range of issues from those who have experienced it and can share that, you know, for our community's benefit.
We are talking today with Tim Kettler and Nick Teddy from Coshocton Environmental and Community Awareness, and we need to take care of some more. You have some more you'd like to share with us right now, Nick? We'll go ahead and take a break here, and we'll be back right after these words.
What is a good neighbor? Sure, it's the couple who picks up your paper when you're on vacation. It's also me, State Farm Agent Doug Marmy. Being a good neighbor means being nearby, someone who understands your needs and makes life a little easier. So if your insurance and financial needs, turn to the good neighbor who understands you and your life. Visit Doug Marmy State Farm at 1201 South 2nd Street or call 622-7721.
May is Coshocton County Board of Realtors Tour of Homes Month in conjunction with Doug Marmy State Farm Insurance, and a lot of wonderful homes featured on the tour, including a 243 North 8th Street, Coshocton. It's three bedrooms, one bath, listed for $77,900, and open house. There will be an open house on this home during the tour, and also Century 21 Court Square Realty will be showing 927 South Lawn Avenue, Coshocton. It's three bedrooms, one bath, listed for $49,900. Open house is May the 18th from 1 to 2. And you can get more information on these two homes or any of the homes that are featured on the tour online at CoshoctonCountyTourOfHomes.com.
Summer is right around the corner, and if you wait until the John Deere Green Tagged event is over, you'll be in the weeds, literally. Visit your John Deere dealer between now and June 2nd and save big on premier equipment. Take $1,200 off the Gator RSX 850i and get around your land faster. Or if it's tractors you need, they have big deals on tractors. $1,250 off one family subcompact tractors with the purchase of two implements and $600 off all four-wheel steer lawn tractors. These are the offers you need to get ready for summer, so don't let it go without taking advantage of it. Nothing runs like a deer, and there's no better John Deere deal than the Green Tag event now through June 2nd. Stop by your John Deere dealer or visit johndeere.com for details. Hurry to Keister Implement Company for hot Green Tag offers on John Deere equipment in New Philadelphia, Bloomingdale, and St. Clairsville, or at keisterimplement.com. Powerful people, powerful products. Keister Implement Company.
At Dean's Jewelry, our showcases are alive and dancing with 526 unique styles of engagement rings.
Wow.
But the ring you really want is usually more than you can afford right now.
You shouldn't have to save up a pile of cash before you can get engaged.
At Dean's, we're doing something new.
To help everyone out there too in love to wait.
It's the Take a Year to Pay program at Dean's Jewelry.
Come to Dean's and get the ring you really want.
Pay us just $250 down.
And we'll give you a full year to pay off the balance.
Wowie zowie.
We'll make a perfect double of your ring for you to wear until we manufacture the real ring.
And you'll have a full year to pay off your spectacular new engagement ring.
Okay.
With no credit check.
Zero. zero interest,
and no minimum monthly charge.
That's awesome.
Get the ring you really want.
Get engaged now.
I'm ready.
And take a year to pay it off.
The Take a Year to Pay program at Dean's Jewelry in Coshocton on Main and in Mount Vernon across from Walmart in the Staples Center next to Verizon.
Muskingum Valley Health Centers, located at 406 South 15th Street, invites you to their grand opening celebration, Tuesday, May 20th, from 4 to 6 p.m. Stop by for a tour of the facility, refreshments, and door prizes. Meet the providers and learn about the services offered right here in Coshocton. Information about Medicaid expansion and their medication discount program will also be available. Plan to attend the grand opening at Muskingum Valley Health Centers, 406 South 15th Street, Coshocton, from 4 to 6 p.m. on May 20th.
It is 9:49, and we are back once again on our paid commercial broadcast with Nick Teddy and Tim Kettler from Coshocton Environmental and Community Awareness. Again, that event is Living on the Shale. We've been talking about it for a while now. It's coming up this Saturday. Just a few days from now, that's Saturday, May the 17th, from 10 to 6 at the Coshocton Village Inn and Suites. And Nick, what else would you like to share with us today?
Well, I just want to say that as you're listening to our speakers this weekend, the science that is emerging stands behind what they are saying. This is science, the peer-reviewed science that should have been done long before fracking was ever turned into a business plan and unleashed on our communities. The science is standing behind the ideas that it is not a safe operation to be conducting around habited areas and around agriculture and around livestock. The Nicholas School of the Environment at Duke University stands behind some of the things that stands behind Calvin Tillman's idea, John Fenton's idea that his water is being polluted. They've shown and demonstrated that methane migrates, and there's no way to absolutely control everything that goes on underground. The closer you are to a fracked area, the more likely it is that your water well is going to be contaminated. The EPA actually did a study in his area. And they found that the wells were being damaged by the fracking operations, but political pressure forced them to re-study the event and blunted the impact of the study because through political concerns, not scientific concerns. In Colorado University, air quality studies are being done where scientists are flying over the fracked areas and collecting samples in airplanes and analyzing it and finding that the air is being polluted with VOCs and methane. And that goes hand in hand with Calvin's concerns for air quality when he found his children waking up with blood-soaked pillows because they had lesions in their nasal passages from these transitory chemicals that are inhaled and taken into the body through the air and then leave no trace except the damage. Things like benzene, xylene, that are called endocrine disruptors, Dr. Theo Colburn in Colorado, found that there are chemicals that are being released that mimic hormones in the body, and they come in and they disrupt the systems, and then they leave. Only thing that is left are the damage, and the doctors are puzzled as to why all these people are becoming sick. She finally traced it down to the endocrine disruptors that are being emitted around fracking operations. So that's the immediate threat. What you're going to hear about a lot is the immediate threat. There's also a long-term threat. That's the threat of climate change, our continued dependency on fossil fuel. Now, the IPCC, the International Panel on Climate Change, warned us that, number one, climate change is real, that people are causing it, and that the consequences that they've predicted are starting to happen. And this is not something you can choose to believe or disbelieve. This is scientific fact. If you want to disbelieve it, you can, but it's like saying, I don't believe in gravity. You don't argue with somebody who's holding a thermometer saying it's getting warmer. That's what the scientists are doing. They're looking at ice at ice cores. They're measuring the temperature of the ocean. They're measuring the rise in the ocean. They're watching glaciers recede. These are things that are measured, and the scientists are telling us that humans are causing it, and they can show the correlation. So as we continue to develop fossil fuel, what we are really talking about here is a legacy. What kind of a legacy are we going to leave our children? Because the business plan of the fossil fuel industry is to develop all the available carbon reserves on the planet. They're not going to stop until they develop everything that they have now and everything they can possibly find. That's their business. That's how they make money. That's what they want to do. The bad news is that we know how much more carbon we can put in the atmosphere before we exceed the 2 degree centigrade warming trend that scientists have warned us we cannot exceed if we want to avoid catastrophic climate change. That is 5,000 more gigatons of carbon that we can burn. The bad news is 25,000 gigatons is what they have available to develop. That's five times more than the safe limit. So if we're going to have a future for our kids and our grandkids, we've got to somehow make a huge shift in priorities. We've got to acknowledge the reality of climate change, and we've got to stop the unremitting dumping of carbon into the atmosphere and change from fossil fuels to renewable clean energy. And we have to do it in the face of huge pressure by very powerful forces that don't want that to happen. Right now, the American Legislative Exchange Council, that's being funded by the billionaire Koch brothers, is trying to make clean energy legislation obsolete. They want to do away with tax breaks for energy, for clean energy, while continuing to subsidize the fossil fuel development. And that's exactly the wrong way to go. They want to call people who are using solar panels freeloaders and charge them a tax because they are using solar panels instead of the coal-fired coal plants. So we need to think about what our priorities are and what the impact is going to be on our children.
All right. Thank you, Nick. And Tim, we have a couple of minutes left. What else would you like to share with us today?
Well, I'm a wastewater professional, and I'm a professional recycler, and you know I'm very close to the issue of water removal. And using the industry experts' projections of 19,000 wells for the Utica, anywhere from 5 to 11 million gallons per well, for anywhere up to 18 frack jobs per well, we're talking some very staggering numbers. And, you know, a midstream estimate is that this could consume 680 billion gallons of water permanently removed, never to be seen again except as toxic waste when it's injected into the ground. You know, there's a number of shale plays throughout the country. We have to look at this as a larger issue, not just what happens in the rain cloud over our heads today, but where we're going. The most recent climate change report said that. The summary was dry areas will get drier, wet areas will get wetter. That doesn't mean more water is being created. It's just moving around. And overall, temperature is rising and water is becoming scarcer. So for us to go ahead with such a water-intensive project without very careful regard for the consequences, I think is a very scary thing. Add up all the major shale plays throughout the country developed over the next 20 years. Lake Erie holds approximately 127 quadrillion gallons of water, and it seems like a heck of a lot, and you know, more than enough to go around forever and ever. But we will very, very quickly be into the trillion gallons, And we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg as far as development goes. So think about Lake Erie dropping halfway down, and it's just being turned into toxic waste. I mean, it's a very real possibility that we want to consider.
One more time, Living on the Shale is coming up this Saturday. We've got about a minute. Would you like to give us a summary of what's going to happen on Saturday once again?
Basically, our speaking program will start at 11 o'clock in the morning. We're going to have plenty of time during our lunch hour. Lunches are available for a cost there. Plenty of time to exchange ideas, view the table exhibits, converse with our speakers. They're all very accessible folks. They're our neighbors. I mean, they may live a couple thousand miles away, but they're no different than you and I, and they have great experiences and personal stories to share. The featured program starts at 2 p.m. in the conference center, and everybody is invited to participate in this. We've communicated with our commissioners and have been told that there's going to be a representative there because they recognize the importance of this issue and the impact on our county, and I'm sure there's going to be many more decision makers there. And frankly, all you people, all of our listeners and all of our neighbors and friends, we're all decision makers. We have the opportunity to have an impact. It starts with getting the information. Once you know the information, your next question is, what are we going to do with it? And we're going to help on both of those questions.
Thank you both for being with us. That is Nick Teddy and Tim Kettler, Living on the Shale, this Saturday from 10 to 6 at Coshocton Village Inn and Suites. Taking a look at our weather forecast, we can expect mostly cloudy skies today with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the mid-70s. Chance of rain, 50%. For tonight, showers and thunderstorms, lows in the lower 60s, chance of rain, 80%. And for tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms, highs in the upper 60s, chance of rain near 100%. Showers tomorrow night, cooler with lows in the lower 40s. Friday, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers in the morning, then a partly sunny in the afternoon, highs in the upper 50s, chance of rain, 40%. It's currently 71 downtown. You're listening to WTNS FM, Coshocton, Ohio. It's 10 o'clock.
AP Radio News. I'm Rita Foley. Turkey's prime minister is vowing to find out exactly what caused that explosion and fire at a coal mine in western Turkey that killed at least 238 workers. There are signs that that number may increase, with one official saying hope is fading for the 120 or so miners still trapped inside that coal mine. Prime Minister Erdogan spoke to Sky News through an interpreter.
May God wish mercy upon our brothers who lost their lives, and I hope our wounded brothers will get well.